Good morning. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large for Sunday, March 3rd, 2013. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. The University of Arkansas Fort Smith's 32nd season of entertainment presents 102 Years of Broadway, Tuesday, March 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Fort Smith Convention Center. 102 Years of Broadway recreates the greatest moments from shows such as The Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis, Cats, Jesus Christ Superstar, and more. Tickets and more information available at uafs.edu.
Support for KUAF comes from the EurekaSprings.org website, a guide for shopping, art galleries, historic tours, and spas. The site also includes information on horseback riding, canoeing, hiking, and other outdoor activities. On the web at EurekaSprings.org.
Ahead on Weekend Ozarks, celebrating both archaeology and the American Red Cross this month.
But first, the Arkansas General Assembly is far from convening, but the legislature has completed 6 weeks in session at the state capitol. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has this review of what lawmakers have been working on this past week.
Governor Mike Beebe started the past week in Washington, D.C. While he was away, Lieutenant Governor Mark Darr was acting governor, and Darr used his authority as acting governor to sign into law a bill making a list of concealed weapons permits secret.
It would go into effect Monday. The governor had a chance to sign it. He chose not to. This is something that was going to become law anyway, but I just felt the need to. I think it's a good piece of legislation, and I think it deserved a signature on it.
BB's spokesman Matt DeCampbell says it took the governor by surprise.
It is not a signing that Governor Beebe condones. He, of course, worries about precedent. This is the first time this has happened in our this is now the beginning of our seventh year in office, and the first we've heard of it for quite some time, even before that.
The bill would have become law with or without a signature, since Beebe didn't veto it, but Darr wanted to put it into effect immediately. Beebe says the lieutenant governor embarrassed himself by doing this.
I will be much more careful about what we do and when we do it. You got to be careful not turn your back if things like that are going to happen, because I owe it to the people. I mean, you know, they elect me to be the governor, and we know what a lieutenant governor is. It's a part-time job. He presides over the Senate, and if something happens that the governor is dead or incapacitated seriously, then that's what that's for.
Lieutenant Governor Darr has stood by his actions, saying that he respects the citizens of Arkansas and the 130,000 citizens that are now protected under this law. Meanwhile, Arkansas House Majority Leader Bruce Westerman, a Republican from Hot Springs, brought his controversial bill to cap state spending back up in House committee early last week. The bill already went through committee but failed to be amended in the House. Westerman says he's been researching other successful spending cap legislation.
I spent a lot of time over the weekend looking at how other states have done spending caps. There are over 30 states that have some kind of a spending cap in place. I'm still looking at data and haven't made up my mind for sure if I will file another amendment on it.
The bill was amended by the House Revenue and Tax Committee. Westerman says the bill is not a spending cap, but merely a way to rein in government growth. The amendment now ties the spending cap to the average rate of disposable personal income in the state, rather than to a formula that would limit the state budget growth to 3% or less. Westerman says the bill's new formula will give the state incentive to keep taxes low.
I believe this is a great indicator, and I believe it works both ways. I think this will allow us to responsibly control the growth of government spending. It's a much simpler method of doing the calculation.
Disposable personal income refers to an individual's total income after paying taxes. The bill has passed committee once before, but House members refused to amend it. The governor and the Department of Finance and Administration have spoken against the bill. We now go from cuts in spending to cuts in taxes. Arkansas Speaker of the House Davey Carter this week called on lawmakers to make $150 million in tax cuts this session. The Republican from Cabot visited the House Judiciary, Public Health, and Revenue and Tax Committees, reminding each committee of the time frame of the legislative session. In the Tax Committee, he told lawmakers he was counting on them to wade through the over $2 billion in tax cuts that they have before them in a timely manner.
Mr. Chairman, I'm asking that the committee begin deliberations on your tax cut package in the total amount of $150 million.
Governor Mike Beebe told reporters that lawmakers will have to justify any cuts.
We can't even afford my number one tax cut right now immediately, which is the groceries tax cut, and still meet these obligations. So if they're going to cut any more taxes, they have an obligation to say who they're taking it from.
Speaker Carter also proposed cuts to the state's capital gains tax. The governor said he is working with the speaker on those types of tax cuts. In other news from the state legislature, the Arkansas Senate voted Thursday morning to override Governor Mike Beebe's veto of a bill that would ban most abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy.
By a vote of 19 yeas, 14 nays, you have overridden the veto.
The House also voted to override the veto, meaning the bill became law immediately. The only exception to the 20-week abortion ban would be for causes of rape, incest, and the health of the mother. Ruth Mims, executive director of Arkansas Right to Life, was in the Senate chamber for the vote and offered an immediate reaction.
It's wonderful news. I mean, and that law takes effect immediately. So unborn children 20 weeks in the past are going to be protected in Arkansas.
Governor Beebe had vetoed the bill earlier in the week, saying he believed it violated the U.S. Constitution. After the Senate vote, he told reporters,
I've told you my concerns, and the concerns still exist, but the legislature has the final say. That's a constitutional process.
The American Civil Liberties Union had said that if the bill became law, it would file suit, meaning a court would eventually determine the constitutionality of the law. Seven other states have similar laws in effect. The state Senate also advanced another abortion bill to Governor Mike Beebe. The legislation would ban most abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Representative Andy Mayberry, a Republican from Hensley, sponsored the 20-week ban and told reporters just outside the Senate chamber the bill has been a personal mission for him.
It's different than some kind of tax cut bill or something like that. This has an immediate effect on the lives of babies.
Abortion rights advocates and the governor have said the bill is unconstitutional, but Mayberry says he's not too concerned there will be legal challenges because similar 20-week abortion bans in other states are already being challenged in court, and any decision there would likely apply to the Arkansas law. Those challenges may be focused at the 12-week ban because it would likely be the most restrictive abortion law in the country. Jill June, CEO of Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, which operates Planned Parenthood clinics in Little Rock and Fayetteville, says the bills are a surprising blow to women's health in the state.
It's a shocking disregard for the Constitution and the women of the state of Arkansas. And yes, I was deeply shocked and saddened to see that the legislature had sunk to this new low.
Though the governor vetoed the 20-week ban, he wouldn't tell reporters what his plans were for the 12-week ban.
I'm not going to tell you any more than I always tell you, which is I'll let you know when I take the action.
The governor generally says he doesn't talk about vetoes until he makes them, but he has said he thinks it's more unconstitutional than the 20-week ban. However, with Thursday's vote, the governor's veto likely won't prevent the more restrictive law from taking effect. From the Herald and Blanche Kalk News Studio, I'm Timothy Dennis, and this is Weekend Ozarks at Large.